Well, welcome to Church Media HQ. I am really glad to have you with us. If you haven't yet, make sure that you subscribe. We're available, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And also, you're going to want to make sure that you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/mustincrease. I don't want to give too much away, but in the coming weeks, you're going to start to see some content that might be YouTube first, maybe even YouTube exclusive, or at least you're going to see it there long before you would see it, or hear it rather, here on the audio feed. So you're going to want to make sure that you get subscribed there. Today, I am joined by Jeremy Lenentine. He is our Church Media HQ contributor. So, Jeremy, it's good to have you join us today.
Yeah, Luke, it's good to always be with you. We always have interesting conversations. And I just want to second that. I mean, it's important when you're leading anything, especially leading in church work, that you have good resources to pull from. So if you haven't yet subscribed to this, you should do it. Because they have great content. And also, of course, through your company, you have really good resources to help to get the church along. And we've been using you for several years now and encourage other people to do that as well. So let's do it, man.
All right. Hey, I think before we get going any further, I think you have, I get tired of doing my own ad reads over here. So I think you're going to read the ad. So well, let's just go for it. So yeah. What do you have over there? Completely unscripted, from the heart, no doubt. Take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, man, as a pastor or a church leader, we want to, you know, serve our church people and the community rather than spending all of our time in Photoshop and designing our own stuff. So from hundreds of ready-to-use graphics and to limitless retitle requests to custom design services, Church Media HQ Premium gives you the support you need to keep up with your church's social, sermon, and seasonal graphics. You'll also get a setup and support of a website, priority one-to-one coaching, and more as part of your membership. In fact, right now, you can get started with Church Media HQ Premium for just $39 per month when you use the code PREMIUM at signup. So stop spending hours and hours in Photoshop and put the team at Church Media HQ to work by signing up for a premium membership today for just $39 a month with the code PREMIUM. Start today, churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. Luke, I was just talking to a pastor last week, and he was saying, and it's a decent-sized church. You say, oh, yeah, no, I do all the designs and everything, the graphics for my church and everything. I know there's so many of you pastors out there that are listening that thinking that you're being penny-wise by still continuing to do services like that for yourself. But let's be honest, you didn't get into pastoring because you're an amazing graphics artist designer, or even that that's where your heart is. And if you're pastoring, it's probably not. It's probably more people-centered or maybe just process-centered. And so you should do this. It's very, very affordable. And the value of your time, and I remember when I was doing this a couple of years ago, and thankfully, I think we're going into year like three or four now where Luke and his team are doing this and I'm not anymore. If you be honest with yourself, you're spending a lot more time doing the graphic and the designing and promoting it and putting it out there, retitling stuff. You're doing a lot more of it than you'd like to admit that you are. And it's holding you back from doing other things. And God's called you to do those other things. And so this is probably just a smart move for you based on your church's needs and finances. But I would encourage you, once we switched and we kind of did a trial half in, half out period, like with you, Luke, right? Where we started to get some of the stuff through you. And after that first year, I went to our pastor and I said, look, it's saving me so much time. Here's what the cost is going to be per year. Do you think that we could do this instead? And he said, absolutely. And so I was thrilled to be able to let the pros do it. And they just do so much better of a job than I ever could. And they free me up to do stuff that I want to do, that I'm passionate about doing, that I believe that Christ has called me to do. I know this resounds with a lot of pastors. I talk to a lot of you that are in mid-sized churches, and you probably need to just try this, at least try it for a year, and just go to your church and just say, hey, look, can we try this? And I promise you'd be worth it, especially when you're looking at $39 a month using that code PREMIUM. Jump on there and see what Luke and his team can do for you. I can vouch for them. They do great work. We've hand over pretty much everything from events to sermon series to all of our basic announcements. They do all of that stuff. And I know that you've got other stuff coming online as well. I don't want to get into that if you are waiting to release that or talk more about it. But just give them a call, check it out, or start there online at churchmediahq.com.
Well, yeah, thanks so much.
How'd I do?
You did great. You did great. And
we'll see,
because I know what's happening out there. Everybody is, you know, I read the ads obviously at the beginning of the show, and people are, you know, they're probably like, oh, okay, yeah, and they're not hearing it. So hopefully hearing it from another voice, you know, maybe helps people, inspires them, motivates them to move forward. And speaking of that, that's kind of our topic for today. Is we're just going to touch on it. This is probably just going to be like the tip of the iceberg, and then maybe in a later episode we'll take a deeper dive. But we're going to talk about this idea of inspiring people, motivating them to action, to get connected, to get involved, to get engaged with your church, whether that's through events or small groups or other, you know, programs that you got going on there. So that's kind of the topic. So Jeremy, just give us an idea of what you're kind of doing there, in terms of what, just give us a, I guess maybe a quick 30-second overview of kind of like what you guys are doing to get people to, if you will, take the next step, there at your church.
Well, I think that it's helped us a lot. We sat down, if you're a church of any size, you're always communicating, right? And when you're a smaller church, it's pretty much the pastor's doing most of the communicating. He's doing that by means of his pulpit, the time that he spends in the announcements and the sermon. I think when you're a really small church, the announcements kind of bleed over into the sermon, because the pastor, maybe you're working by yourself and you're really motivated. And so you talk about it a lot, you know, what you're trying to do and to promote and to push. You know, then churches start to get Facebook pages. And so then that's the next, it kind of just echoes from the pulpit into Facebook, into social media and stuff like that. But one thing I started doing is I just kind of got everybody to stop and say, okay, everything that we're trying to push or promote, we need to first put a label on it. And here's what I mean by that. You're either going to label it that it's internal promotion only, or this is supposed to go out to external as well. And the reason why I don't say external only is if something's going out externally, right? Let's say you're inviting the community to a big day you're having, you have to first promote that internally. And if it never gets any traction internally, it's never obviously going to make it out the doors of your church. You as the pastor and your, you know, one or two staff people will be the only people talking about it out in the community. And so we decided, okay, we're going to label these things, and that'll help us determine, okay, where should we be announcing this stuff? Where should it be viewed, talked about, you know, so on and so forth. And so it really helped us to put a framework around, okay, what do we do with that and how do we message it? Because once you start to get to a church of any size, you realize you have a ton of opportunity for announcements. All of a sudden you have small groups where they're making announcements, right? You have several services, you have your online stuff, maybe you have a YouTube channel, right? You have posters, or you're advertising, you know, on the walls in the church somewhere with support boards or message boards or whatever else. And then of course your church people are talking about it. So there's a lot of different people that are saying a lot of stuff. And if you're not clear about what group needs to hear these things, then they're just going to all be going out there. You also have sometimes video announcements, and you have church bulletins for Sundays and for Wednesdays in some cases, some churches. So when you stop and look at it, I think that the number we came up with was 12, that we were saying some type form of announcements in 12 different areas between Instagram and Facebook and classes and counting classes as a whole. And sometimes there's a lot of classes. So 12 different formats this was getting out. And it was getting really hectic, really confusing. And we weren't saying the same things across different different channels. And so, you know, that becomes a huge problem. You have joked before, Luke, about that there are churches that they take every announcement and they put it in all of the places all the time, right? Like a super huge open house is just as important as, you know, the ladies' monthly tea fellowship, you know, or whatever. And that's a mistake as well, right?
Yeah.
We've all seen that. So
yeah. And I mean, I do have to say that is something I think is the first thing you have to do, like what you're talking about, is you really have to determine what is, or where rather, and when these different things should be mentioned and communicated. Like you said, and I've heard the rule that, you know, if it applies to more than 50% of your church, then that's something that you can mention church-wide. And so, you know, in that case, I guess I suppose that the people would put probably default, you know, we do, I tend to pick on the ladies, you know, a tea meeting or fellowship, whatever you said. Yeah, I tend to pick on stuff like that because, you know, they say, oh yeah, well that's ladies. And obviously like half of our congregation is going to be ladies, men and ladies, right? You know, men and then the ladies. And so, but what I like to remind people of is yes, but consider the fact that half, maybe not half, but a portion of those ladies are, it's not going to feel applicable to them, even though you might say, okay, yeah, they're all welcome to come. If it's something that's like a recurring, you know, ladies Bible study or something like that, that you're doing every month, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. But just assuming that every lady in the building, that it's going to work for them, that's going to work for their schedule, or that they're going to feel that they're ready to take that step, and therefore assuming that it's half of your congregation that it's relevant to just because it's about ladies, that's not exactly what we're talking about, you know? And so you've got to, and I'm also a big fan of announce, you know, when it comes to announcing, whether you're doing it live or like I said, in person or by way of a video, that you focus more on those, like you said, you talk about internal events or external events, that you're focusing more on that external stuff. And then also the stuff that is really just crucial in helping people take their next step. So that's kind of some thoughts there on where. Now, you guys said you're doing it in 12 different places or whatever. I don't know. Well, I think you had another thought to share there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I gave you the first one, so I wanted to give you the second one before we got any farther, because you're about to cross over into something here. So what we looked at it was we did AI, right? So A is audience, and we already talked about that. So is this an internal event, or is it more, or is it also external, right? And I'll talk about that in a second. But the second one is the I, and that was level of importance. Mm. And so we just did a quick grading system. And now we kind of do this sort of just unconsciously, like, you know, a level one would be the most important. So this is like our big open house or friend day Sunday, or, you know, whatever it is. You're trying to get a lot of people there. It's a big event. That's a level one. But then sort of just a monthly reoccurring, like, let's stop picking on the ladies' tea for a second, right? If you have a senior citizens monthly luncheon, which we do, right? It happens every single month, and it's for a small designated group of the church. We put that in more of a level three importance, okay? So we probably run that in the bulletin, but we're not announcing it, you know, 5, 6, 7 times leading up to it like we would an all-in, you know, big day at our church or whatever. And so I think it's especially, you know, something that is reoccurring. If you missed it this month, you didn't make a big, you know, deal out of it this month, that's okay. It's back here next month, you know? And so I think that audience, you know, internal, external, and then level of importance, 1, 2, and 3 determines where you should be saying it. Those level ones that are external, those are our highest priority events with the most application to literally everybody who's on property and people we want to get on property. Those are going out everywhere, right? That's in the announcement video and in the bulletin and in every pulpit announcement. All of those places we're communicating, those you really can't communicate enough. But you're not going to have time for those if you're announcing every little reoccurring thing that happens. I think we've all been in the church before, Luke, that like announcement time was 15 minutes and they were just giving you all kinds of stuff, right? There's no way to absorb all of that. And you were checked out in the first like 2 minutes of that. And so I think that the rule that you go by, that I try to go by as well, when we're making announcement videos or announcements, is it really, you want to only announce 3 things, maybe 4 things if you have to. And that's what you should stick to. So you really do have to determine what's important and what's not important in this setting.
Yeah. And that is something too. I have found that when it comes to any given, you know, service, you know, on Sunday, for example, when you go beyond 3 items that you're announcing, not to say there's not some rare exception, but when you go beyond 3, you know, events or programs or whatever that you're announcing, people start to tune out. And, you know, it's because people's minds, there's all this, you know, science out there that people think in threes. You know, that's why a lot of times, you know, pastors out there are using 3 points to a sermon, you know. And it's true, though. People do think in threes. And so if anything, anything, I always say strive for three. Sometimes two is going to be sufficient, but very rarely should you go over three just because of the way people are geared. That, you know, if you say, hey, I want, so the way it's kind of this, what are the three biggest things, if I could get people to take three actions this Sunday, what would it be? Maybe that's, you know, oh, okay, yeah, planning to attend this big event that we got. Maybe it's getting engaged. Maybe you're kind of up in your enrollment push, if you will, for your small groups coming up, or something to the effect of, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you want to make a big deal of the kids ministry, whatever it is. Just think of those three things, and whether you, again, whether you announce them by way of video or live in the service, attack it from that perspective, and yeah, try not to break that rule of three. Make it a very rare exception that you you break that rule of three, if you will. So yeah, something else to throw out there in regards to the, you know, what you're doing is what type of information when it comes. Now you said, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So you said that you're announcing in all these different places, and the problem was the messaging was inconsistent. Your pastor might say one thing and emphasize maybe, and it's not that the messaging is inconsistent in that maybe they're saying one thing is here and then something completely different that makes it inaccurate, but it's probably just a matter of what they're emphasizing. So maybe, you know, your pastor makes a big deal of, oh, hey, it's on this particular day and the time, and they make a big deal of that. And then you and your class, you know, you make a big deal about another aspect of it. So how have you guys kind of helped to keep that messaging, you know, consistent across the board?
Yeah, I think a couple things to say on that. Number one, we just picked a lead communicator, and that lead communicator doesn't have to come up with all of the information themselves, but they need to be the one who gets it out to all these places. And really nothing is going to be perfect, because especially when you talk about small groups, you know, you might have 10 different ambassadors between people who make pulpit announcements and then people who are making it, the announcements in their smaller groups. And so are they going to do it right all the time? No. But what we found is that the lead communicator, if they will type up those announcements, and what's really helped us, and I'm going to put in a plug to push people back to you on this one, Luke, but what really helped us to get organized about this, and you know, you already know where I'm going, is when we decided to start doing video announcements at our church, because that forced me for the first time to have to type out what the announcements are. And inside that, in typing it out, forced me to think about really communicating clearly details and then also doing it concisely. Sometimes we ramble and it was clear and then it becomes muddy again. And then sometimes you start making an announcement. I've been here before too. I've been up there making an announcement and realize, oh, actually we didn't really pick a solid age group for this, or a solid start time, or, you know, who's supposed to bring what food or whatever. And then you're just like backfilling it and making that up later. So typing it out ahead of time. And the second great thing about video announcements is it makes me think about communicating 5 weeks out. That's when I'm having to do my communication or think that far ahead for what's going to be coming up, because we shoot monthly around here. And so from that typed out scripted announcement that goes into the announcement videos, we also can borrow for that for the bulletin, which is, you know, has a lot of eyes on it as well. Whether or not people, you know, pay attention to it totally is great. And then also when we need to, we can push that out into our small groups and stuff. I'm kind of wary about letting our small groups do a lot of the heavy lifting and communicating, because again, a lot of times they're people who don't work for the church. So they're not familiar. They haven't been in all the meetings, right? Planning all this other stuff I have, or maybe some other people have. And so for them, we just have them do simple announcements like, hey, this big day is coming. We want you to be there, invite someone. That's all that they say. We handle all of the really detailed parts of it in other areas. But again, the announcement videos, if you're not yet doing announcement videos, they're a lot more achievable than you might think that they could be. And I guess I would just say you should have a conversation with Church Media HQ about that, because they could probably help you and get started. But it really helps you to be disciplined about your messaging and take it to a whole new level.
Yeah. And we could talk about, there are a lot of benefits to the actual video approach. You know, for example, what I like about a video is that it gives you the opportunity to You ever consider with video, you could communicate almost two things at once. And what I mean by that is you have what the audio says, but then what the video shows. And so, for example, you can, because that is something I will say about the mistake that I see with video announcements or even in-person announcements, I see it on both, is this feeling that you have to give just every last detail of information, and it just gets really, really crowded in the script, and that's where people are losing interest. But that's the nice thing about announcement videos is by way of lower thirds or some type of graphic overlay, you could show the exact date and time and cost and location and all the little details that are crucial. And so that's the nice thing about video. But even before you produce video, if you're saying, well, video is a little bit out of our budget, or maybe just out of the realm of possibility for you right now, maybe you're not equipped for it, whatever, I would say to start at the first step, which is what you already said, Jeremy, and that is going to be scripting your announcements and just being willing, if you're the pastor or the person who, you know, leads your worship service in that way, being willing to just read from the script. Because I have seen some really effective, you know, live announcements where people, you could tell they're just reading or reciting a script. And then, you know, they're putting the graphics up on the screen behind them and whatever. And so I would say, if nothing else, like what you said, because that is going to force you to be concise with your messaging, and it's going to keep it consistent. Because you said, then you could take that script, you could put it on your website, you could put it on social media, you can put it in your bulletin, wherever it might be. Now, Jeremy, this is a conversation that, like I said, I knew we would just kind of barely scrape the surface of it. So we might pick it up later. But I was going to let you have kind of any last words here before we sign off.
Yeah, the one thing I do want to say is we talked about, so again, AI, right? Determining the audience, is this an internal messaging only, or does it also need to go up to external? And then level of importance, is this event a one, highest priority, a two, or kind of a low priority, three? So all I wanted to say about it is, and I know we can pick it up later, but if you have something you're just trying to message internally, you really can do that in like a 2-week window or so. Let's say, okay, it's just a dessert fellowship after the service, right? Just, hey, 2 weeks, hey, just, we're going to be having that reminder, we're going to be having that, not a big deal. If it's something that is external, in other words, you need to take people internally, need to take that message outside the walls of your church, you really do need to plan a 5 to 6 week minimum on that, because it's going to take 2 weeks for it to circulate, right, internally, get your people excited, get them knowledgeable, and then get them energized to get them out the door with that. And then it's going to take 3 weeks or so to spread the word to all the places it needs to spread. And so sometimes we think, oh, well, we don't need to start passing out invites, you know, that early, so we just can do this in 3 weeks. But it does take some time to get some internal momentum for people to help you to take that message out there. So that kind of gives you a timeline of how long you should be promoting certain things depending on what it is. So that's the only thing I'd say on that. So just remember, audience, who's this intended for, level of importance, you know, how important is this certain event or thing that we want to do?
Yeah. Well, again, really good stuff. Hope that just this short time is helpful to church leaders out there, because I know that can be a real big struggle is, man, our church is putting on, you know, these different things, these events. We have these programs, you know, small groups and things, and we want people to get involved, but you can really feel that disconnect in communication. And so hopefully this has helped maybe somebody out there develop their messaging. We're going to, next time we have you on, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off and kind of dive into this maybe a little bit deeper. And so next time you join us for an episode, we'll make sure to do that. And for now, we're going to let you know that, or remind you rather, to make sure that you are subscribed wherever you're listening to podcasts. And again, going to make sure you get subscribed to our YouTube channel as well. And look forward to seeing you next time here on Church PHQ. We are your one source for designs, graphics, websites, video, all things creative. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Now, Jeremy, do you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you want to help us by, you know, saying our final, you know, kind of call to action that we always give any episode? Again, you've said it before, but I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm going to give you a chance to give it a shot.
Of course, Luke, you know, it's really become one of the mantras of my life, you know, right up there by, you know, salvation by grace alone and everything else. And that is this, that if it's been a while since you've tried something for the first time, you should do that, because it's much better to try something for the first time and to fail than to be the same stale, old, boring self. And so try something for the first time. I kind of messed it up a little bit, but you get the idea. That's what you need to do. Try something. And it'll be exciting. It'll be an adventure. And even if you fail, at least you went down swinging, right? Trying to bring some excitement and level of importance to what you're doing.
You know, what I like about that is that's the spirit of the message. You know, it's about the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, right?
It wasn't even close, but it was the spirit. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so sure. we're just going to try something new. That's all. We're going to try something new because you know that it is so much better to succeed. Or no, see, now you got me messing it up. It is so much better to fail at trying something incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. Thanks, Jeremy, for joining us. And we'll see you again right here on Church BD HQ.